Chapter 70. It was a twist to the right that caused the pop to happen again. He pressed his foot down when he felt it and thought that maybe it had popped back into place. Somehow, he had told himself that his knee was just out of place and could pop back at any time. He smiled as he felt the jolt. He'd seen things like that on TV, where an arm or a leg could just be popped back into place. Maybe that was what was happening. He wished very hard for that to be what was happening. His first step felt spongy, but at least he felt stable. Maybe that was it. A few moments later, he felt it starting to swell. He reached down, felt the heat coming from it. It went on like that for several weeks. Ron was now being given a hard time about the elevator pass and told that he would have to renew it every week and that he would have to produce a new note from the doctor each time that it had to be renewed. Life had changed dramatically. There were a few days that went by without him getting slapped for one thing or the other. He told Coach Peters that he was going to have to leave the team. That knee hasn't gotten any better? No, Coach. It seems to be getting worse. Tuck, you know you have to want it to get better. The coach eyed him with an unsympathetic gaze. Injury was weakness, and when a player couldn't respond, Peters never lost the feeling that it was at least part in due to lack of desire, a lack of toughness. I do want it to get better, Coach. Football was the best thing about my life. Now it's gone. Clear out your locker then, Tuck. Ron felt slapped again. That was it? Just clear out your locker? Make sure you've turned everything in. We have records of everything that we issued to you. That was so not how anyone who was on the team was spoken to. Ron felt the distance. The team had moved on. The coach had moved on. He was no longer part of it. He sat in front of his locker, tried to sort everything out. When it was empty, the locker room felt like a deserted hovel. There were only a few things there that belonged to him. He didn't want them anymore. Threw them into the garbage. The limp was now something that he was used to. It was weird how the pain became more manageable as he became accustomed to it. He replayed the scene in his mind. He felt like the discarded soda bottle that he saw laying in an alley. Then an anger rose up in him, and he thought to himself that he really didn't need the team or football, or anything. His knee was tapped for the first time in late November. It was a Friday. He was being taken to his Aunt Dottie's house. The rules were absolutely no stairs, no walking. He was to keep his knee elevated and stay off of it completely. The doctor gave him a set of crutches. Somehow, they felt comforting. They were proof of his injury. They would tell everyone that he hadn't been faking or hadn't wanted to get better. There would be another few days away from school. The trip home took him past Jersey Catholic, and Ron was shocked to see that the school was being dismissed. Marjorie was driving the Chevy that reminded her of Rocky. Ron slid low in the seat as they passed the school. He didn't want anyone to see him. I wonder why school's being let out. Marjorie didn't answer. The doctor's visit had been expensive. She felt shaken by the size of the needles that the doctor had inserted into his leg. She knew that he must be in pain, although Dr. Polino said that he'd given him a cortisone shot, and in a few days the knee should feel a lot better, and that the swelling would go down for good. When they were a safe distance from the school, Ron reached out and turned on the radio. Instead of music, he heard the announcer say, "At this point, there is no way to know how badly the president has been injured. There are reports that he was hit in his head." To repeat, shots were fired at President John Kennedy's motorcade in Dallas about 45 minutes ago. There are reports of multiple injuries. The president is believed to be among those who have been injured. Texas Governor John Connally is also believed to be among the injured. The president and Governor Connally have been taken to Parkland Hospital. Defense forces have been placed on alert. Ron turned to his mother, but she didn't seem to be reacting. "Do you think he'll be all right?" "I'm sure that he will," said Marjorie. "Those people are trained to take care of him." Marjorie was only half listening. She was worried about the bill and what George was going to say. Dorothy had the back room all prepared for him. The crutches were of no use in her house, so Ron left them in the kitchen and limped slowly back down the long hall to his uncle's room. Dorothy had pulled out the sofa and added extra pillows for his knee. "I'm going to fix you a plate of cookies and get you some milk," said his aunt. Ron tried to smile. The feel of her apartment was comforting, and no one was going to holler at him or slap him here. Dorothy turned on the TV as she left to get the cookies and milk. Ron saw Walter Cronkite in his shirt sleeves. There were people moving around in back of him. Everyone looked tense, nervous, busy. The scene shifted to a larger room, and in back of the scene, people milling and crying. Ron heard that there were unconfirmed reports that the president was dead. He sat up bolt straight in the bed. The knee didn't seem to mind. He blotted out everything else in the room and stared hard at the TV. The camera shifted back to Cronkite, who reported that President Kennedy was receiving blood transfusions in the emergency room. That must mean that he was still alive. Ron hoped with all his might that everything was going to be okay. Then a voice from off-camera said that there was a rumor circulating that the president was dead. Ron felt his mind go numb and waited to hear what Cronkite said. Until Walter Cronkite said it, it wasn't true, and rumors were just rumors. Then there was another report from the hospital itself that said one of the doctors was now reporting that President Kennedy was dead. Ron felt his eyes welling up with tears. Then Cronkite said Father Hubert had been called into the operating room to administer the sacrament of last rites to the president. Then Cronkite said that there was a 25-year-old man who'd been taken into custody at the scene. He interrupted himself to say that correspondent Dan Rather was now confirming reports that the president was dead. Tears were streaming down Ron's face as his aunt walked back into the room with the cookies and milk. She placed them on the table and sat down with Ron to watch. The TV showed pictures of the ballroom where President Kennedy was scheduled to speak. People were praying. Cronkite said that Vice President Lyndon Johnson had been seen at Parkland Hospital, but there were unconfirmed reports that he had been wounded slightly in his arm. Ron thought, why couldn't they have killed him instead? His aunt was sitting hunched forward with her hands clasped. Marjorie had gone back to work as soon as she dropped Ron off. He was worried because her face had that tense look that it always seemed to have now. Then Ron realized that his Aunt Dottie was praying. He had never seen her pray before. Cronkite reported that some 400 police officers in Dallas had been called in on their day off, and there had been reports that there might be trouble in Dallas. Instantly, Ron hated Texas and everyone who was from there. Cronkite reported that it had only been in late October when United Nations Ambassador Stevenson had been assaulted in Dallas. Ron thought, why does anyone go there? Why don't we just stay the fuck out of Texas altogether? Then Cronkite said it. It was official. The president had died 38 minutes earlier. Cronkite took off his glasses, took a deep breath, appeared to be crying. Ron cried too. His Aunt Dottie cried. They sat staring at the TV in disbelief, tears rolling down their faces. Cronkite gathered himself and said, Lyndon Johnson would be sworn in as the 36th president of the United States shortly. Ron watched the TV endlessly. He couldn't stop. A man who had been there with his son was waving to the president, and the president was waving back. Then he was shot, and the man saw the expression on his face. Then he was shot again, and he was gone down into the limousine. Ron cried again. 4 years ago, before Rocky left, before George intruded, they had taken him to a rally at the Newark Mosque to see JFK. Kennedy was late. They waited endlessly. Just when Marjorie was saying that she had to go to work at 7 a.m., he was there. He was tan. He was filled with a light that seemed to shine from him. Ron was transfixed, understanding that he said what he said seemed less important than being able to have been there. Now he was dead. People were talking about watching him die. There were pictures of his wife, and then a photo was released inside of the airplane. Johnson looked flabby and old and grisly. Jacqueline Kennedy looked like she didn't really know where she was or what was happening. Dorothy had switched the channel over NBC. Robert Abernathy was reporting on the return of the president's body, along with the garish presence of the new man who thought that he was president. There were a couple of thousand people waiting. Many were members of Congress. Ron watched the mostly dark screen that showed the blinking lights of the plane's arrival. Somehow those lights seemed sacred and important. Then the plane was visible, and the words, "The United States of America," could be seen lettered along the side of it. A row of small windows were visible underneath the words, but nothing could be seen from them. Diplomats and cabinet officers waited for the arrival. Ron believed with all his heart that they waited to be in the presence of that person who had been John Kennedy. Lyndon Johnson, in Ron's mind, was merely a passenger. It was so very dark as the honor guard walked up to the plane. Ron was alone now. It was late. Everyone else had gone to bed. Then he heard a shuffling, and Dorothy came in. She sat down without saying anything. I just can't sleep, Aunt Dot. Me either, she said. They moved a special piece of apparatus out to accommodate the coffin. The men struggled to remove the casket. Each jostle felt almost like a slap. The brown casket glistened in the dark, and Ron felt that it must be that light that he had seen, that light in back of the words that he had listened to and read. They reported that it was a bronze casket. This is so bad. It almost reminds me of the war, said Dorothy. A Navy ambulance arrived to transport the casket. JFK had always been Navy. It was fitting. No one knew exactly where the body would be taken. One report said that it would be flown directly by helicopter to the White House. Another said that it was going to Bethesda Naval Hospital. How many times have you seen this now? Said Dorothy. I don't know. A few. Just seems wrong to stop watching. And then Robert was there, and he was holding her hand and helping her down. Ron watched it for the third time. It wasn't going to be any different, but it was right to be here now. She got into the ambulance with the casket. One man in a military Navy hat was opening the door. People were milling around. "She's lucky to be alive," said Dorothy. "Bet she doesn't feel lucky," said Ron. Dorothy felt a twinge and stared at him. At this moment, he seemed much older than he was. People moved in formation as the ambulance drove away. Then they showed Lyndon Johnson and his wife, who was called Lady Bird. They looked like vultures to Ron as they walked out from the plane. People were shaking his hand. Ron felt anger. The congressmen and cabinet members advanced. They were there to greet him. They hadn't come to see if anything was left of that light that he had seen and knew was still there. Only his wife and brother still saw it. But Ron had seen it. His Aunt Dottie had seen it too. Then Johnson came to a group of microphones to speak. Ron didn't want to hear what he had to say. Ron closed his eyes, didn't want to listen. Then he opened them. A man with short brown hair and a bruise over his left eye requested assistance. He said that he hadn't been charged with any crime and that he was requesting legal representation. He said that he'd been hit by a policeman. Ron lay there and watched. His knee was an afterthought. It was reported that a rifle with a telescopic sight had been found in the Texas School Book Depository. There were 3 spent cartridges and 1 shell left in the chamber. Oswald was just wearing a t-shirt now, and he said, "I'm a patsy." Ron didn't know what that meant, but he hated the sight of Oswald.